Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning, you are going to hear a message on a simple but yet sophisticated principle found in the Word of God. My sermon is entitled Unity in Plurality, Plurality in Unity. Unity means one or singular, whereas plurality means many or more than one. The Trinity of God is one of many perfect examples of this principle throughout the Scriptures. There are three distinctly different persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet we believe in one God, three in one. This is an enigma or mystery of the divine being of God found in the Holy Scriptures. By understanding and embracing this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity, it significantly broadens our horizon in the interpretation of the Word of God. My message this morning could also be subtitled The Twofoldness of Divine Truth. The simplicity with yet the complexity of the Word of God only strengthens our resolve that the Holy Bible is divinely inspired or spoken. The Holy Spirit teaches us through the Apostle Peter, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One perfect example of the twofoldness of divine truth is found in the formation of the woman from the rib of Adam, and then God rejoins them together to become one flesh in holy matrimony. And then, through procreation, they have offspring that are a DNA replica of mom and dad. Yet they have their own individual identity, unique from their mother and father. This, again, is one of many examples that helps us broaden our understanding and interpretation of the Word of God. Many prophecies in Scriptures have a twofoldness, both a near prophecy and a far prophecy. Or, for example, one prophecy in Scripture will picture both advents of the Lord, His first coming and His second coming. God embeds His principles in the physical world, or sometimes I like to describe it as God stamps His divine truth into His physical creation. In Genesis 1:1, God says, "In the beginning," meaning God created time and He stamped His signature of the Trinity into it with the past, present, and future division of time. Well, the same can be said of the twofoldness of divine truth. Every atom of the physical world is either paired with another atom of the same element, or it is found in a chemical bond with a different atom to form a compound. No atom appears in nature singularly. Let me give you one other example. The New Testament speaks of gifts and prizes or rewards. The importance of rightly dividing the word of truth is rightly dividing passages that speak to gifts such as our eternal salvation versus passages that speak to the call of believers to strive to attain the prize, which is ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in His millennial kingdom here on this earth. That is why we say on the Crown of Life Baptist Church website and on this radio program, God is calling sinners to the cross, and God is calling believers to the crown. We have to rightly divide what passages are speaking to what proposition. Enjoy the almost unlimited parallels found in the Word of God pertaining to this truth, unity in plurality, plurality in unity. If you missed an episode of this program or would like to re-review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel and please hit the subscribe button. Unity in Plurality, Plurality in Unity, Part 1.
Now, this is a favorite topic of mine. I preached this message. This was my last message at IBT 2 years ago before we launched this church. But I had a very limited time to preach this message. And so you're going to get the full scale of it. You're going to get the full-blown message. It will take several messages, several Sundays, to get through the understanding of this. Once you grasp this understanding, it helps you to interpret the Bible better. And, we have heard for the last few years, especially in 2020, QAnon, and they would talk about, you know, Trump having meetings and signaling and sending a message of some sort in his photographs or things that he would say, but God singles out things in the Bible. He is singling us, or giving us messages in the Bible, And there are tears, just like we talked about last week with Peter getting out of the boat. What was that really? What was the embedded message in that? The embedded message was, don't leave the boat. Don't leave the boat. Don't leave the church. Stay in church no matter how bad it is. How bad things are in your life, stay in the church. Stay in it. You'll get through it. There will be a calm. I told you about the storm that I hit when I sailed to Bermuda, and how frightening it was, and all the wind and the waves and the rain and the lightning, and the people crying Mayday on the ship to shore radio, calling the Coast Guard. Stay with the boat. Stay with the boat. And you know what happened? 5 o'clock that morning after the storm, as fast as that storm rolled in, it rolled out. And all of a sudden, there was no wind. Big waves, but the rain stopped, the lightning stopped. We were just bouncing around in these waves until the winds, just regular calm winds, picked up and was able to get our motion back. But so that's life. That's life. We have peaks and valleys. Sometimes we're up in the mountains. Sometimes we're in the valley of darkness. The Lord is our shepherd, and he will lead us through it all. One day he'll bring us to green pastures and still waters. And but you know, life is full of storms, uncertainties all the time. So unity in plurality, plurality in unity. Now, you may think this is talking about the Trinity. And let me just give you a little bit about the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity here. We believe that we have one God in three persons, is clearly understood by most denominations. Even the Catholic Church accepts that. The Protestants accept that. Baptists accept that. Many of your churches do accept that there is, we have one God, three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you may know of people who believe in oneness or have heard of them. There is the Oneness Pentecostals. They started about 100 years ago. They just believe, what they believe is that God, there's one God who manifests himself at different times in different ways. Now, you don't have this in your notes because we're not going really heavily into the Trinity, but the Trinity will help us to understand the concept of what I'm trying to get across. We don't believe in one God that has manifest himself at different times as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit, but they're never, there is one, they believe there's one God, and he just manifests, he appeared differently at different times in history. The God the Father was in the Old Testament. God Jesus just came and was on earth, and then he manifested himself after he ascended back into heaven into the Holy Spirit. No, we believe there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three in one, and they have been together since the forever. Since the beginning. There is no beginning with God. God has been from everlasting to everlasting. So there's three persons. And so it's different. There's a large contingency of oneness believers in the world today. We have a very large church in the center of Indianapolis. They have a Bible college here in Indianapolis. A Christian school, a large Christian school on the south side, and they strictly believe in oneness. They don't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They baptize just in the name of Jesus. This actually represents an ancient heresy known as modalism. Where God appears in different manifestations, but it's one God. But we believe in one God, but it's three in one. Your most important passage in your Bible, you can go there, look at it in your Bible if you have it with you, 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7 tells us, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one." That's one of your most important passages about the Trinity in the Bible. But if you have a newer version of the Bible, they've taken that passage out of the Scriptures. Here's an ESV version, and it says in the ESV, it says that, "For there are three that testify." That's it. They stop right there. Three that testify. No, the whole verse is, "There are three that bear record or testify in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are ones." This is 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And the great debate over here on them taking this out of your many versions. It's not taken out of the New King James Version, but it is taken out of the ESV and the NIV, which are the two prominent versions. And so we believe that. What is the Word? Who is the Word? The Word is the Lord Jesus. It says in John, the Gospel according to John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says in 14, verse 14 in chapter 1 of the Gospel, that he manifested himself in the flesh. He became incarnate, and he took on flesh. And so the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know there are cults, we would call them cults because they deny the deity of Christ, that deny that Word is the Lord, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they deny that. They're some of the ones that come knocking at your door quite often, trying to give you their literature. Deuteronomy, Israel has a passage in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, you are a three-part being. Every one of us in this room is a tripart being. Means you have a soul, you have a body, and you have a spirit. Why? Because you were made in the image of God, and God is three in one. And so he made us, he stamped his signature in you and I, and created us to be a tripart being with a body, soul, and spirit. And so we have that in us. There's a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that emphasizes that we have three parts. I'll read it to you. You may not have a chance to get there, but it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. So we're different than the animals in the animal kingdom. How are we different? You have a living spirit. God breathed in our nostrils the breath of life. That means you have an eternal soul. You are an eternal being. The animal kingdom is not so. One major emphasis of the foolishness of evolution, and that we evolved from a monkey, is the issue of your eternal soul. The issue that your soul can go to hell and your soul can go into glory and have eternal life. That's the big thing. Here's some other things about the Word of God. Listen how God stamped his Trinity into creation. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What three things did he create? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created time. He created space, heaven, the air, this is space, and matter. Okay, earth speaks of rock, matter. Now, each of those can be broken into three parts. Time can be broken into past, present, and future. Three. One of the perfect numbers in Scripture. The divine perfect number, the perfect number three, the number of for God. Matter can be divided into three. Solid, liquid, and gas. Solid, liquid, and gas. And then we have space. All you people who like to draw and are draftsmen, we live in what? A three-dimensional world. Not a four-dimensional world, not a two-dimensional world. We live in a three-dimensional world. Height, length, and width. And so you see God stamped his perfect number into his creation. This is the evidence that God is real. In an atom, every atom is made up of three parts. The proton, the neutron, and the electron. Every atom. Now, the number of those vary depending on the matter, but every atom has three parts. So, this is not a message about the Trinity, though the Trinity is real and it helps you to understand three in one. But there's a bigger issue here in the Scriptures. Now we'll go to your notes. We're gonna first talk about the joy experienced at the birth of a child. Okay, you're going to find, I'm going to be bringing a bunch of subjects together and bring them to a conclusion and how they all tie into one another. One of the happiest moments in a couple's life is without a doubt the birth of their child. A woman, the Bible says, here John is, the Lord Jesus is speaking, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. We call that labor. Ladies, moms, ladies who've had babies, you understand that word travail? My wife would, you know, say, you don't understand. You don't understand the pain. She said, take your bottom lip and pull it over your head, and you may get a grasp of the pain, okay? Take your bottom lip and pull it over your head. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. Why? Because joy that a man, or and there is man or child, man or woman, it's just the Bible uses the word man to speak of mankind, for joy that a man is born into the world. A child, you brought a child into the world. The joy of bringing that child just causes that anguish, that pain, that travail, that labor to be forgotten, because the joy trumps the anguish. The joy trumps the anguish. This passage describes every childbirth that takes place on the face of the earth. God uses this well-understood principle in the Scriptures to describe prophetical events that are waiting in the wings that will suddenly appear on the world stage at any given moment. Pain and suffering are God's antidote for reform, for repentance, for revival, and ultimately for reward. Four R's. The four R's. Reform, repentance, revival, and ultimately reward. It has been taught in this pulpit, my congregation who've been with me for 2 years and have heard me teach on Sunday nights at IBT, it has been taught that there are two justifications. We all remember Dr. Dixon who taught here. Those of you who are new, you can hear it in 2019. In July, Dr. Dixon preached a message. There are two justifications. You lay open the book of Romans and you lay open the book of James. And there are two justifications. They're different, but they both use Abraham as an analogy. But one is Abraham before Isaac was born, and the other time in James is after Abraham had Isaac, he was born, and Abraham was looking for a sacrifice, and he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac. Two justifications, two different applications. We talked about here this summer, two sanctifications, two washings. Two washings in the Bible. Just like there was two cleansing of the temple, there was Jesus washed the disciples' feet, but he wouldn't wash Peter from head to toe because he was already washed. That you have the sanctification of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood cleanses and washes away your sins. And then you have the sanctification work, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, telling you things in your life, convicting you of things in your life that you need to correct in your life. So there are two sanctifications. There are two gospels. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, the last chapter in the book of Acts. You see the Apostle Paul, there's two gospels. Jesus was preaching. He taught us about his death on the cross, that he was going to be delivered up to the cross. But he also taught us about the kingdom. There's the gospel of the kingdom, and there's the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.